Three, two, one. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Loose Ends Podcast. We're back at it with episode number 5. And we're just going to start it off as we always do. How's your week been, Spencer?
I mean, it's been pretty good. I mean, next week, spring break, it's a good look at the end of the week to keep your eyes set on that. And I mean, normal week, homework, tests, quizzes, but I feel like the teachers have been
pretty graceful.
Yeah, pretty graceful. So not been like pushing too much on you.
Not going to lie, this is that time of the year where you wake up in the morning and you just say, why? Why? Why today? I don't want to do this. I want to have a day to myself. I don't want to go in, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, what matters is you get up and you keep pushing every single day. We have in this episode a lot packed for you. It is our best episode yet. Of course, I can guarantee you we get better every single time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've come a long way. The first episode, you can hear, yeah, rough. We weren't very confident in speaking and what we were going to say. But, I mean, it comes with time, too. So
yeah, we're just going to pop out, get right into it. And so, recently, this last week, I stumbled upon a YouTube video. And, you know, since I've been in about fourth grade, since I've been in my double digits of age, I have seen videos on YouTube of people claiming prophecy. They know prophecy. They know when a cataclysmic event is going to occur. They know when the world's going to end. You know, stupid stuff like that. And then at first I believed in it. Like when you're a kid, you believe a lot of what you hear and you don't really take much into question. And over time I built up a tolerance and I really was able to filter through things as I became closer with God. I was able to filter through things that I could definitely tell were fake and were just absolute propaganda, or not even propaganda, but just, you know, people trying to get clicks. So I stumbled upon something that carried a lot of truth to it. Now, as a Christian and as Christians, we know that the book of Revelation is God telling us what's going to happen in the future. We know that these events are to happen and the next event on the prophetic calendar, the rapture, could happen at any moment. And so recently, I've taken note that we are getting closer and closer to these events taking place. And so, you know, you can look at signs. Nobody knows the day or the night. That was the stupidest thing I ever said, day or night. Wow.
Day or the hour.
Nobody knows the time, but we can predict the season. So we can figure out when things might be getting close. We can figure out if you know, the weather is becoming, the setting is there for what is going to come. And so, you know, this video knew. It admitted this video claimed that it did not know the day or the time. They didn't make promises they couldn't keep. But what they did bring out is they said, April 8th, there will be a solar eclipse, and this solar eclipse would bring judgment on America. So your initial reaction, Spencer, to hearing something like that, the April 8th, a solar eclipse, is it bringing an omen of God's judgment on America? You're not going to really believe it, are you?
No, I mean, I think of it more as a kind of a odd take of it, but I see it kind of as a blessing, to be honest. It's showing, God is showing us all these signs, like he showed Noah with the rainbow. I see all these signs of, I mean, there's so many times that the prophecy has been fulfilled.
Right.
Like, literally looking at the moon, scientists have found rust on the moon. And in the prophecy, or in the Bible, it says something about the moon being red.
Right.
And they found 5 red cows, too. So there's, like, so many, like, prophecies that are, like, portraying that it's getting close to that time. Like I said, no one knows the exact time or when it happens, not a single soul. And if they do say that they know it, they're lying. And right. It says that in the book too.
So the truth about the red heifers, and to bring more context to what they represent, the red heifers, and this is something that we only learned about recently, they represent the beginning of the sacrifices in the third Jewish temple. And the third Jewish temple is essentially the sign that you know that the end times are here. Once the third temple is built on the holy soil, which it is, I think it's going to be on top of where the second one was. And right now the Jews are in much debate over where the actual precise second temple was. And so these red heifers have to be young enough. They have to be about 3 years old. And, you know, you can do more research on this, and I hope that you do. They're about 3 years old, and they cannot have a speck of white hair on them. They have to be completely pure and red. And so over the years, there has been much search to find which cows actually fit this quota that we have, which fit the description. And so there was a rancher in Texas, and this rancher had five. So there were five red heifers, and then Jews came over. They examined it, and they met the quota. Met the
standards, yeah.
Yep, they met the standards, what they were looking for. They fit the description. And so now they were taken over to Israel, and now not all of them, I believe only three, are still capable of being sacrificed because two of them have gotten too old.
Oh, okay. So,
this means that if this batch of red heifers is to be the one that ends up getting sacrificed, they have to act very, very soon. So this means that we could see, you know, these end time events and these events leading up to it really ramping up over the next couple of years, months, whenever.
Yeah. And something cool with this, too, is I feel like it's opening the eyes of the normal lukewarm Christians, in my opinion, because seeing all these signs, it helps them see and be a little scared of how they've been acting too. Because if they've not been acting in the right way and that kind of stuff, seeing all these signs that they can see with their own eyes that the Bible is getting prophecy or like the prophecies are coming true, then it's kind of making them realize that maybe I should stop spending time on all the stupid things that I've been spending time on and focusing more on God and his prophecy or in his truth.
It was a wake up call for me to a long time ago during COVID. I was very, very lukewarm. If at all, I was even a Christian. I'd never even prayed the salvation prayer.
Yeah.
And so I took that as an absolute wake up call. Get the things out of your life that are keeping you from a perfect walk with God. God will put your mind in the readiness mode and give you comfort and give you trust in him through all that could happen, and will bring you excitement when you hear about these end times events, instead of if you are further from him, then you'll have absolute fear. So get whatever you have in your life that is keeping you from walking with God to where he really works in your life and provides clarity for you. You need to get everything made right, because a day might come where he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And at this point, you still called him Lord, Lord, and did things in his name.
Yeah. Well, it's really crazy to think about, too, how me and literally everyone has always gone through this of being lukewarm at one point in their life.
Right.
So it's easy as our society is. Or how our society is, to just fall into norms and even just scrolling on TikTok and little things on your phone, being addicted to your phone. A big thing that I try to do is challenge myself to put those things away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me because I do my morning Bible reading on my phone.
Right.
But there's times that I try to just power my phone off, push it away, so that I can fully focus on what he has for me for that day too.
Right. Bible prophecy is something that every person should pay attention to if you claim to be a Christian, because it really helps you focus on the things that matter. It keeps your brain in check. It keeps you in check from wandering away. It keeps you in a state of stuff could happen today. There's been talks in America about just the absolute utter collapse of our country. The fact that we might not be around. And, there have been theorized why the United States is not even mentioned in the Bible. And it could be for a couple of reasons. And Dr. David Jeremiah actually wrote an article about this that was very interesting. And he came at it from a very great perspective. And it's that the best that we can assume is that a lot of Americans were taken in the rapture, so it just did not have the same impact anymore. like our country was just not the same because too many people left.
Oh, that's cool to look at that
but
way.
But there's also the side of we could completely degrade and we could face God's judgment. And that, to connect back, that is where this video that I was talking about came from. It came from this perspective of the solar eclipse, which is going to occur on April 8th of this year, represents a future bad omen, and that it it's a sign that Christians in the Church of America should repent if they haven't already and change their ways. Now, could they be wrong? Of course.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen a YouTube video? It was 2018 Nostradamus predictions for the year.
Yeah.
Stupid things like that. It didn't happen. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That just was false.
The crazy thing with those videos, though, even though like some of them are false and stuff, it's still cool that people are still like putting deep thought into these things, even if it's not a full truth or like saying what will happen is correct. It's still sparking fear into people. And
right.
It doesn't matter if it comes fully true. It matters that the spark and the fear has been lit in the person. So like, say if I was just like walking my normal walk away from God and I saw that one video, mm-hmm. and that kind of changed my mindset.
Right.
That's still a crazy blessing that it brought me to God through that one instance.
Fear can be a very real way for people to come to God. And really, these things, in, like I said, I'm bringing it back to where I was before. You know they're going to happen. So kind of like a specific sign, as I'm going to use an example of, is the Tigris and the Euphrates River are meant to dry up by the time by the end times. And it looks like at this point, they're going to dry up at around 2030. So I think from my perspective at this point, I think we could look within the next decade. I'd say the 2030s are really going to be the time where most of this prophecy unfolds and the tribulation period might begin. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to guess, but it's still very important to always be ready because mm-hmm. no one knows the date or the time. But that's also why us as Christians need to go out now. Go out and spread the word to even your neighbor next door, literally anyone you see, mm-hmm. because like no one knows the date or time. So it can literally be in 10 minutes. Who knows?
It could be in the middle of this podcast.
Yeah, it can literally be whenever. So, I mean, I need to do better at this too. Just like talking to people in your own school. Like,
that
I know it's hard for us.
The hardest thing to do is to talk to those people around you,
yeah.
because you care what they think about you.
Yeah, for sure. But it's also, like, talk to the kids in school, but also, like, I was at the gas station the other day,
mm-hmm.
and there was this homeless guy. He was actually really nice. He mm-hmm. was, like, asking me for money and stuff, but I was, like, I forgot what happened, but I don't remember if I gave him anything or not, but he was, like, well, thank you, sir. You have a blessed day and stuff. Like, I saw that he had an actual smile,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of, like, made me sad looking back at it that I didn't speak to him about it.
Right.
Because it's, like, that one little moment could have changed his entire life.
Right.
Like, who knows that he could have changed his ways. I don't know why he's on the street, but he could have changed, that could have changed his mindset. He could be living in a house in a few years. I don't know. But it's just hard to reach out to others because you don't want to like others to look down on you because of what you said. And it's really hard.
It's a great conviction to have. And I think that if you are listening to this podcast right now, those of you who are, use this as an opportunity to get fired up. And if you need it, use it as a reset to reignite the fire, because we all have moments where we're on absolute fire for the Lord and we're doing great. And we are praying more often than we usually do. We're just doing things to please Him. And we're really thinking about Him throughout our day. We're really thinking about His word, His teachings, and how we can carry through and live out His word. Let's use this as a moment, if you can, to get fired up again and to really go out and be the Christian the Bible tells us to be. Because there's one thing that you don't want to happen, and that is for Jesus Christ to come back and you're in the middle of doing something that you should not be doing.
Yeah.
You know how awkward that would be?
Yeah, that would be terrible. Also, kind of adding on to what you just said there was, or what I was thinking about is, And also get plugged into a church too. Right. Like having your day, like us going to a Christian school, we have Bible class 2-3 times a week, but it's very easy to shut it off and just go through the motions. Don't think anything about it. If you get plugged into a church, then you get your weekly dose of, like a pastor said, it's like, if you just go through the motions, it's like a daily dose of like dopamine. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you just barely do it every once in a while, then it won't fully fulfill you in the end. You need to fully connect to it to get the full like grasp out of everything. And also a big thing is, for me, is if you're already plugged into a church, I want you to go out and like, if they have a chance to go and do a camp, go and do that, because I've never grown so much in my faith, like through a camp in my life. So it's like, I went to Hume this summer, and like, I'm going to say it, but like, I was basically just like a lukewarm Christian. So I was just kind of going through the motions, like doing all that kind of stuff. But when I fully went there, I got to fully grasp how much he loves me, and like how like worship and like reading your Bible, how that is all important.
Right.
And that's also kind of why I started reading my Bible, to kind of like continue that. So I don't let the, like the camp high, like, go down, if that makes sense.
Right. Don't you feel like you gain a lot of purpose from that as well too?
Yeah, for sure.
Because you gain so much purpose from spending time with God and listening to what he has to say. Now, it's hard. I can't really explain what it's like to really listen to God and not just pray to him, but have a conversation. I don't think I'm at that advanced.
Yeah.
But learning to listen to God, turning your ears on, instead of being in the mindset of God talk to me, or God, why can't I hear you? Why aren't you going to speak to me? God, why aren't you giving me a dream? When really God is trying to speak to you all the time, you're just not listening in the right way. We need to think about, we don't have a God talking to us problem. We have a listening problem.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's why people say he gave us two ears and one mouth so that we should always listen to others.
Always listen. It's a Bible verse. Be quick to listen and slow to speak and very slow to get angry.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a big thing with our society too, is we're always trying to like make everything on ourselves. Like I would say we have a very prideful and very, I would even say angry too.
Mm-hmm.
Like even like you're like, in, especially in San Diego and LA area, you're driving on the road, there's so many like angry people and cutting you off and all that kind of stuff.
So yeah, a lot of anger in pursuit of, and these people are in pursuit of a high, they're in pursuit of trying to find happiness.
Yeah. Well, kind of adding to that is I saw a video. It was of Tom Brady. He was saying how he accomplished all these Super Bowls, all these super crazy things to grasp as a like a crazy athlete,
right?
But he was still looking for a purpose.
Mm.
He was still looking for that next thing to fulfill himself.
Really?
That just shows how like if you don't have God, there's no purpose.
Yeah, people like that. Yeah. The people that have it all, or at least they, if you think that they've accomplished the most amazing things that a human could, they're sometimes the most real after the fact. Because they understand and they've reached a point most haven't. So they're really able to give wisdom on the fact that able to give wisdom on the experience, and that you do not receive out of it as much as you might think.
Yeah. That's also in the book we were reading, one of the main topics was the American society.
Right.
It made me think about how all of our goals and all of the things that we strive for are so like low on the totem pole. Like a lot of people strive for wealth, fame, all these other things. When looking at it, if I reach that goal, I'm gonna have no fulfillment in myself. Like if I go out and I get super popular, it might last 3 weeks. So you can never hold on to that. You can never like get like keep like people like get canceled and get like people don't like you anymore. So if I put all my effort and all my faith in that and I lose it, I have nothing.
Right.
So if I, like, I'm not saying getting rich or being famous is a bad thing, But I'm saying if I put that as my number one priority,
right,
that's where it's bad, because you can lose that in an instant, but God is forever.
That's Mike Tyson literally spoke about this on a podcast. He stated how him specifically and other famous people they know, where, you know, they have all this bling, they have the house, they have all these possessions, they have accomplished the goals that they've trained their entire life for, and now that they're retired, once they reach that peak of having all the money, having everything, having every material possession they could ever want, never having to worry about money again, they sit alone in their house and they look around and they see, is this what happiness is? That's when a lot of them commit suicide.
Yeah, it's actually really sad, because it actually happens like all the time too.
All the time.
Like people looking for a purpose and not finding it, because that's our job as Christians too, to spread it to like all those around us, no matter how like far away they seem, or like, that's why like missionaries go out to far places, but we also don't always need to go that far.
You can be a sender.
There's
goers and their senders.
What I'm also saying is I don't need to go to Thailand when I can fix the place that I'm in right now.
Right. That's been a theme actually over the last couple episodes. It's just fixing, like paying attention and keeping track of the people around you, taking care of those around you. God might not be calling you to go to Portugal or any, I don't know why I threw that country out there specifically, but God's not calling you to go to Thailand, most likely. What God wants you to do is right in front of you, and you don't even realize it.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know why I thought about this, but in a history class, we watched Jesus Revolution.
Great film.
And something that hit me was Lonnie Frisbee, one of the main pastors at this church who is a hippie that like springs this movement forward, is he preaches and does healing and does all this stuff, but he's doing it for himself.
Right.
So at the beginning of the movie, it sounds great. He sounds like he's like sharing it and like bringing people to Christ, which he is, but he's doing it for himself.
Right.
So like we also make sure that we also need to make sure that we're not doing it for ourselves to make us look like we're higher than others around us, but to like fully put God first. Because I mean, everyone's prideful at times, selfish and all this stuff. But also just think about those around you. Put them before yourselves too.
Yeah. Even while Spencer and I work on this podcast, it's because we genuinely enjoy it. Our intentions behind it are not to get famous at all. Like in the email that Kyle Mann sent to me, the editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee, he said, if you're passionate about what you do, it doesn't even matter if you get famous from it. You do your thing, you have fun, you are participating in your niche, and you could care less whether or not this blows up. He himself didn't think the bee was going to blow up. Now, while we plan on continuing to improve the quality of our production, eventually adding a visual aspect to this little room studio that we're in, we are all doing this because we genuinely enjoy this. This is fun for us. We just like talking.
Yeah, it's super fun just to talk and say what's on your mind. But also, my main goal is if we do put in all this work, all these hours, and even money, and we touch one person, and then maybe they commit themselves to Christ, I call that success.
So if you are that person, and not many people are listening to this podcast, like I would be lying if I said this was if we were getting a bunch of listeners. But the truth is, if you are that one person that you might not exist yet, you might not be there yet, but if you are that person that maybe has changed heart or this podcast has changed you in that way, please talk to us about it. Tell us about it. We would love to hear about this, and we would love to talk to you about it. This is why this podcast, we're not making money off of it, because who cares? But, you know, we spent our own money putting together this with a goal to have fun, record podcasts, and the ultimate blessing would be somebody like you, a listener, changing their heart and walking with Christ because of this.
Yeah, for sure. And we also want to just like keep getting better too. Maybe have a few speakers on just to like speak to you and get your like get different stories and different perspectives just so that not it's just not always us and always the same perspective and that kind
of
stuff.
That's like kind of a summary of what we hope to bring forward to you guys within the next couple of months in the next frame of time, is just to grow this and expand it and to continue to improve our craft and continue doing what we're doing because we enjoy it a lot.
Totally changing gears, but did you see the rocket launch last night?
I did. I got a great video of it. For those of you who don't know, a little context, San Diego, California, witnessed in the sky last night a really amazing rocket launch because the sky was pretty clear, and it was launched in San Bernardino. So apparently this was a Falcon 9 SpaceX rocket carrying 22 Starlink satellites.
Yeah. Funny thing about the Starlink too is my grandma literally just got that for her Wi-Fi.
So what'd she have before that?
Nothing.
So
she had Dish so that she can watch like a few little channels.
Right.
And then movies.
So she went right to the Starlink. That's like going from 0 to 100.
Yeah. It's so funny. The other day she actually sent me a Pinterest meme for the first time. Like, she would literally have to walk out to her front yard, hold her phone up to send a text.
Oh, my gosh. That's
so
crazy.
Like, every time... And my cousin's diabetic, so he has to be always on his phone. So it was hard for him to go to that house because, like, there's no Wi-Fi, and then there's nothing to connect. So it's always hard. You're worried, like...
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
100%. Like, Starlink satellites are cool because... you effectively can get service anywhere in the world. And a lot of people who are actually buying Starlink satellites are Baja, Mexico, like people that race Baja 1500.
Oh, really?
Those races down there, a lot of them are actually getting subscriptions to to the Starlink SpaceX satellites because they're able to get such great service at anywhere.
Isn't it through a satellite that you have to keep though, or is it like it just shoots down and you get good Wi-Fi, or do you know how it works?
I don't know. I think you might be able to keep and own your own Starlink satellite, but I'm not really sure. Yeah. That's something I want to actually research right now. Do you own your Starlink satellite? I'm actually looking this up right now.
I think at my grandma's house, she had a little, like, you know, Dish, like for channels and stuff. I believe it's literally like a dish. So it like it shoots down from the satellites down to that, and then that's where you get it.
So what I'm seeing here is you rent a Starlink kit, and it remains in the property of Starlink, and the title will not transfer to you.
Huh.
But then another article says here that customers purchase the equipment, and after 30 days, it's theirs to keep. So that could be, you know, the equipment that you have here on Earth, and then Starlink keeps the satellite that they have in space.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Technically, though, it's weird. Technically, it's not technically in space. Not even the space station. It's an orbit. Well, the thing is they have to get up to 22,000 miles an hour so that it goes the same speed as the Earth's rotation.
Huh.
So if you're the ISS or you're a satellite, you're going 22,000 miles an hour because that's how fast you have to go in order to be constantly falling.
Yeah.
And never hit the Earth.
It's kind of cool. They time their launches so that it's like a show for everyone to see. Like,
I know that was
did
so
you
cool.
see? It's like, what time? I want to say 6:30, 7?
This took place at around 7:30 last night.
Okay,
yes.
So they time it so that it's like, it was like pretty dark outside. But it's high enough that you can see it in the light. So it looked like it was like a huge shooting star.
Yeah.
So they time it so that everyone can see that. So then it kind of like gets publicity because of that.
I mean, the first few seconds of it, I'm like, what on earth is that? And, you know, I bet you there were some people that jumped to conclusions and they thought it was a nuke. I wouldn't be surprised. That happened to me in 2015. There was a rocket launch, and I'm pretty sure it was military, and they did not tell anybody about it. It's in same place. This was visible here in San Diego. And so there was a rocket launch, and it took off, and it ended up exploding in the sky. And it was this like green, we just saw a green glow throughout the sky. It was like a green cloud. And while this was going off, my mom thought that it was a nuclear attack. So we all just got sent inside. This was during my sister's homecoming.
Oh, dance. Really?
So she's like a good, she's like about 7 years older than I am. So this was when I was a younger kid. I was really little, and she was like right in the middle of high school, and she had all of her friends over taking pictures, and that happened. And so we all booked it inside.
That would make some pretty cool pictures though, to be honest.
It wasn't, no pictures were, we didn't even take any pictures. We were all freaking out.
Really?
Cause I don't know what to think. They didn't give us warning. And after the fact, this was on the news a lot, and it appeared, and this became an issue because a lot of people were freaking out, wondering what it was. And, you know, people are going to have a plethora of things that they might think it is. They might think, hey, this is, there were tensions with North Korea at the time. They probably think it's that. There are people thinking it's aliens, because there's always going to be those people, stuff like that. A lot of uncertainty as to what it was really shook up, and the news reported it for a long while after that.
I want to ask you a question here. So if that would happen today and you saw that, would you still be scared?
I don't even know. Like, there's always that first gut drop feeling when you see something that you cannot explain that looks very weird in the sky. Like, things in the sky are always going to be a matter of, they're always going to be a topic full of discussion and full of like conversational opportunities with people.
Yeah.
Because we have not been able to explain everything we've seen in the sky. I mean, there's been weird things, like, you know, the term UFO exists because there's things in the sky that we don't know what they are.
That was before you were fully Christian?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was also kind of changing. So I'm also talking about like spiritually too. Like, would you be scared? Like, I know that there are Christians that are like still scared of death because they want to live out their life. They want to get married.
They have too many attachments, right?
Yeah. That's also a big thing. Like, I was kind of saying, or like not saying, but like I was asking you that way too.
I feel like I would have a sense of calm because nowadays with like world events and things that, you know, I experience, I have a lot more sense of calm and a lot more sense of I'm going to be fine. So I don't really worry about this.
Yeah. I think that's also such a blessing, having that foundation too.
Right.
That you can just fully trust that and know that you're in a safe place. Like, I'm not worried ever about death. I mean, mm-hmm. I used to before I was fully Christian or on fire with God.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm kind of in this spot where I'm like, I mean, I don't want to die, but if it happens, I'm not scared about it.
Right. Now, it's the thing that everybody wonders about their entire lives, because you don't, for the most part, go to the other side and then come back.
Yeah.
Right? It's one-way ticket. You go, you don't, you're not coming back. It's not a two-way. It's not a round trip.
I also think it's really cool that he gives us that too,
mm-hmm.
because it helps people think about their faith too, right, and think of where they're at and where they're standing at. To like, am I here? Am I there? And like, they can fully place their faith on him too.
I mean, this is something that I've been thinking about and sharing with people over the last 24 hours, because something that I can't get into has happened, and that I've just been informed about, that's been, you know, a really sad loss. And so I, you know, went into a group of kids and I said to them, hey, life is a gift. And it can end at any time. We can die any day. And it's very important for us to reflect on that. Thank God for the life that we have, and check in with the people around us, and sometimes have those tough conversations of where their faith is at. Because some people you really care about can turn out to be very, very defensive on the subject.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people who claim not to be a tinfoil hat wearer, people who claim not to buy into conspiracy theories, are also the same people that when you press them on issues like that, they get very weird themselves and start getting very, very defensive on the subject when outside of that, they seem completely normal.
Yeah.
It's a very, very touching and close to home subject.
Well, I feel like it's also a big thing that kids in our society and everyone is they always put on a mask.
Right.
So like they're having a bad day, but they always got to pretend like they're having a good day. Mm. Or like also like spiritually, like you said, they always act like they're doing really well in their Bible reading and worship and all this stuff, but they could on the inside not be fully living that out.
Right.
So it's like you said, we should all, and me included, should just reach out to those closest and like even the hardest people that you want to talk to is probably the best. Like I heard this thing like for working out and stuff mm-hmm. is the days that you don't want to go are the days that you should go the most.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you don't want to do that, you're going to look back on it. If you did do that, mm-hmm. you're going to be so happy with yourself that you went through with it. Mm-hmm. And then, and even if it doesn't fully work out, like if they didn't like accept God or really talk to you,
mm-hmm.
you still reached out and you fully have fulfillment that you know that you tried and that you didn't just walk away and do the normal confident or normal, just easy way.
Yeah. God, you know, provides in our lives these people that can be kind of like rocks. They can be people that we lean on, the people that we go to if we have a problem, and we really trust these people and we see them as role models for us in our lives. They're going to fall too. So even those small groups of leaders that we have, those role models that we have that God has given us to look up to, we need to check in on them too sometimes, because the most put together people, the most well-off people in your own eyes might have the biggest problem at home. I heard today that those people with tons of issues that everybody knows has tons of issues, those people with problems, everybody knows has tons of problems, they have people checking in on them 24/7. It's those people in your lives that are the most put together on the outside, that are the most professional, the ones that look like they have everything right, they look like they're doing well, might on the inside be the ones that actually need you to go up to them and ask them how they're doing the most.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because I was literally just going to say that, because those people that I look up to, I always go up to them and always ask questions,
mm-hmm.
but I never think to like ask them how they're doing, what struggles they've been going through, because I think of this person as like perfect. They're never struggling. They're never doing all this stuff, but it's really hard. I mean, we're all human. We all sin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard to like put on this perfect face, especially because if they act like they have everything together, that means that a lot of people look up to that person. Mm-hmm. So if they don't have everything together, then maybe people won't look at them. That's what they think to themselves. So that's why a lot of people like put on this mask that everything is perfect, even though when it's not.
But everybody is human. Your pastor at your church, your senior pastor, is completely human just as you are. Everybody that you see in your life has issues internally that they are not going to talk about for the most part. As Christians, we kind of have this culture of not really talking about our problems, where we can be very, very private, very, very, closed up about our issues in our lives. And, you know, a lot of times, small groups, we can do a good job of talking about our issues in small groups. But then again, there's those people, those role models that we want to look like we have it all together as well. And that's when we can start kind of lying to ourselves about how together we have it. And that can create a problem too.
Yeah, that's also why I say lean on those closest to you too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's way easier to go into a battle with an army with you
mm-hmm.
than if you're going in with yourself. You're way easier for the devil to pick on you mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Like, it's super good to go around those who are Christians and ask them to pray with you and like talk about your struggles. Cause
right.
a lot of people that I've talked to my struggles with have gone through the same thing. And maybe they've gone through that
mm-hmm.
and then they can give me wisdom to get through it also.
Right.
So it's cool to think about that too.
They'll help you through, because if you're not going through something and they are, then you kind of have that clarity of mind when you're not being tempted as to, hey, look out, this is what it is. You're being tempted. You're being lied to. You can kind of use your mental clarity at that moment to tell them what's going on and to help them out. And they can do the same for you when you're in that situation. They can tell you, hey, this is what it is. You're being lied to. Every time the devil says something to you, and I cannot stress this enough, every time the devil says something to you, it is a lie. There's no truth to anything he says. There's no, well, he's just twisting this because there's a lot of truth to what he says, but there's a lie. No, everything he says is going to be a lie. The devil is a pathological liar.
Yeah. It's also hard in this time that we're living in to know what is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a big saying my truth, all this stuff. It's all a lie too from the devil, mm-hmm. but it's hard to know. Like if I'm going through something and I'm asking God to get me through it, I don't know if I hear all this. Like a big thing is like Instagram reels.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of wisdom on there, but there's also a lot of fake info on there mm-hmm. too. So it's hard to know what is from God and what isn't, because the devil has a great job of twisting words so that it sounds like God
mm-hmm.
and it sounds like it is his word and all this stuff. But it's so hard to know, like, is this God speaking to me? Is this what he wants for my life?
Right.
And all this stuff. Especially, it's the hardest when you're making this huge decision.
Mm-hmm.
Like buying this house. Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, physical things, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, is this the right spot? Is this what you want? Will this give you glory? And all this stuff. And they're, like, he comes in mysterious ways, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. I keep saying he's a liar, but he's very good at it. He's been doing it for thousands and thousands of years. So a lot of what he says is going to come off as having some sort of logic to it, right? Things that make sense in your brain. Like, yeah, that I think I could see where that'd be true. But down to the root cause of it, it is a lie. I've been reading recently the Screwtape Letters. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a book written by C.S. Lewis, which is coming from the perspective of a senior tempter. They're in hell, they are demons, and they work for the devil, who they call Our Father Below. Our Father Below is a representative of the devil, and so this senior tempter's name is Screwtape, and he's writing to his nephew, who is a junior tempter, kind of a newer one, named Wormwood, and he's giving him advice. And Wormwood has what he calls a client. And a client is a human who the demon is trying to tempt away from God and is trying to ruin his life. And this book follows kind of the advice that Screwtape gives to his nephew Wormwood in this process of with this client that he has. And there reaches a point where he says that his client became a Christian. And he says, it's okay. Right, that I'm so sorry to hear that, but a lot of people go through this little phase and then they come right back to us. They have their phase on fire with the Lord and then they become lukewarm again. And so the book continues, and I'm not all the way through it. The book continues, and Screwtape calls Christians those stinking vermin, and he goes through keeping things out of the human's mind. Keeping the human's brain and eyes off of Jesus, putting them on other things. Not necessarily, the demon is not necessarily putting things in their brain, but just keeping the good things out. This is a book where it was very hard for C.S. Lewis to write because he had to think from the perspective of a demon and what it's like down in hell, and he does a phenomenal job of it. And I recommend that anybody listen to the book. You can listen to it on YouTube.
I was also thinking about it while you're saying that. It's so crazy how easy we can get changed too.
Right.
Like it can literally be one word of someone saying something and it ruins our whole day, or mm-hmm. it changes our whole mindset and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big thing of keeping your mind pure and like being in the word too, so that like, you know, the truth, because God will never leave or forsake you. He right. will always want the best for you. There's never a time he will let you be tempted in times of like trial and stuff to see how you come through that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a big thing. Like people are always saying like, God, why does this happen? And all this stuff. He does everything for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And always, you just got to trust his timing, because his timing is always perfect.
Right.
You always got to, like, just sit back, trust in the process. It's sometimes hard for me, because I like to be hands-on, like to always be, like, feel like I'm in control.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, like, God's always in control, and you always got to know that, too.
Right. So, how is this week? It's been a little while. How are you doing right now in your Bible in a year plan?
I've been going actually really good. I'm on day 68. So I'm in Numbers right now. And then I'm also in Psalms. So it's a little bit of the Old Testament and a little bit of, like, it's not fully new, but it's like it jumps around so that it's not all, you don't get bored of one whole thing. Because Numbers and Leviticus was...
Numbers and Leviticus is a lot of history, a lot of information, a lot of good stuff. But at the same time, yes, I understand how it can be kind of hard to get through those books.
It's very hard because it's like a lot about like how times were back then too.
Right.
Because a lot of it like doesn't really apply to us now because a lot of it's about uncleanness.
And, yeah, it's history, right?
Yeah. But it's great to know, but it's hard to sometimes get through that. That's why I'm super glad that it jumps around a little bit too.
Yeah. I have to say, this episode has been a phenomenal episode. Definitely our best one yet, and you can keep saying, and you can keep expecting every time you listen, as I said at the beginning of this episode, for better episodes every time, and for us to improve every time you listen to our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. You want to run the outro?
All right, we'll see you guys next week for episode 6.
Hey, by the way, spread the word about this
podcast. Tell your friends.
Spread the word. Go on the corner of a street like those crazy people say that the world's going to end with a sign and say, "Listen to the Loose Ends Podcast."
All right, we'll see you guys next week.